I was reading something this week, actually on Friday in preparation, and I picked up a verse from Genesis, and in particular looking at the promises of God. You know, we've just come out of that season of 40 days in the Word and looking at the promises that God has for us. And I really like this reading. It says, "Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Do you like those words? Do you like that? I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Now, that was a promise back in Genesis to a whole other generation and a whole other point in time. But I think that's for us even today, of something we can hold on to. You know, Jesus said when he left, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But I think those words that he'll not leave us until he has promised what he has done in us. And it's in that today that we believe that he will do what he has promised in us.
Father God, we pray that as we stand just now and we see those songs about your kindness and your compassion of you who just love us unbelievably. So much that you gave your son Jesus to die for each one of us. Not only that we would receive salvation, but that we would be rescued every day, that we would live in faith every day, that we'd be dependent on you every day because of Jesus. Thank you that your love wipes away all our fear, all our anxiety, all our care. We don't find that easy because we take it back, but we want to rest in the knowledge, Father, that you hold us and embrace us. And this day, as we consider our lives, I pray that for each one of us that our eyes will be enlightened to know the truth of which you call us to in Jesus Christ today. Not only our eyes, but Father, your eyes of our hearts would be open to receive from you today. In Jesus' name I would ask. A blessing and encouragement for each one of us. That a gold nugget would be ours today that we would take and go, yes, that's what the Father gives me today. A treasure that I can be reminded of as I go through these next days. As we open the word, bless us and encourage us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's just sing that one more time. Let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the
beautiful words, aren't they? Absolutely amazing words. I love the line, "Oh, how you love us, from the homeless to the famous and in between." Does that just communicate a message to us this morning? Just a real blessing. I invite you to take your seats and we're going to open up the word, and Caitlin's going to come and read to us first, followed by Guyon. Great to hear from you guys. Thank you.
So I'll be reading from Micah 6, 1-8, the Lord's case against Israel. And I'm reading the New Living Translation. "Listen to what the Lord is saying. Stand up and state your case against me. Let the mountains and hills be called to witness your complaints. And now, O mountains, listen to the Lord's complaint. He has a case against his people. He will bring charges against Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? What have I done to make you tired of me? Answer me, for I brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from slavery. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to help you. Don't you remember, my people, how King Balak of Moab tried to have you cursed, and how Balaam, son of Beor, blessed you instead? And remember your journey from Asea Grove to Gilgal, when I, the Lord, did everything I could to teach you about my faithfulness. What can we bring to the Lord? Should we bring him burnt offerings? Should we bow before God Most High with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams and tens of thousands of rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? No, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God.
Yes, good morning. I'm also reading from the New Living Translation, from Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19 and verse 21. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favour has come. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled to this very day.
Thank you, Caitlin and Guyon, for bringing the word to us this morning. Now, we're going to hear from Colonel Winston Merritt. Let me pray for you and before you bring the word to us. Father God, we just again thank you for the opportunity to join together in this place, but we also thank you for Winston coming to Canberra this weekend, and particularly to bring the word to us right now, Father. So through her words, speak into our hearts through your Holy Spirit. And in her role as she leads a team of people and leads the operations of the organisation, Father, continue to sustain her, give her vision and the way to work that out across this nation for lives to be transformed, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thanks, Dom. It was great yesterday to visit two Salvo stores, the one at Gungahlin and the one at Phillip with Toffa and San, and then to go and visit Mountain View, not River View. There's a River View two state borders away in Queensland. I did get them confused. We visited Mountain View Aged Care Centre and Major Warren Locke and his ministry there was just really beautiful to witness, and great to walk around that centre and speak to the residents and to see the care that our staff offer people in the latter stages of their life. So I just want to say thanks to San and Toffa for your hospitality and your time. It was really precious and very special to be able to do that. And it's great to be here today. Really good to be able to share with you. After 2 years of being in kind of lockdown or semi-lockdown, it's just so good to be able to get out and share with God's people around Australia, and to see what God is doing among you and to hear about what God is doing among you. Well, I understand you've been looking at the mission intentions, and today we're looking at working for justice. What does that mean? As a person who follows after Jesus, what does that mean? Well, you would have seen or heard the scripture reading that was so beautifully brought to us from Micah. No one really likes negative feedback. I mean, we say we'll accept it, but no one really likes to be told the things they're not doing very well, unless probably you're a bit of a masochist. But we do take negative feedback if we are wise and we apply it. Now, there was some research done by Harvard Business Review, and they've got a database apparently of about 50,000 leaders. Now, they did some research and they discovered that of those 50,000 leaders, those who received some really strong negative feedback and who actually took that feedback on board and began to work through it, they found that within a year, their performance had improved significantly. So they were very wise. I don't know the percentage of those 50,000 leaders, but those that did take the feedback on board actually improved their performance over a 12-month period. They took that feedback on board, which is more than what it seems the Israelites did. Now, God had a list of, if you like, negative feedback and complaints that he wanted to provide to the Israelites. He commences, though, before telling them what his concerns are about their behaviour and what they are doing. He commences in this chapter 6 by reminding them of his faithfulness to them in the past, of the way he'd come to their rescue on a number of occasions. He reminds his people then that their ritual purity, you know, their legalistic adherence to the law is not what he wants, he says. I'm not interested in that. He says it's meaningless. It's inadequate. I'm not interested in that. That's the negative feedback. Instead, God says, as we move to that verse in that verse 8, he says, what I want is a heart that worships me. And that is expressed through just and right behaviour towards others. The expectation is really clear in that those few short verses in Micah. God has shown us what he wants. A lifestyle that reflects the God we worship. The Israelites who'd been brought into covenant relationship with God had minimized that lifestyle to fulfilling the details, if you like, of a contract, like a tick list almost. And ultimately, God wanted a relationship with his people where their hearts were attuned to his and their worship flowed out of that relationship, where their interactions with other people, with each other, reflected a just and merciful God who they worshipped. God was not interested in his people going through the motions of worship and thinking that that was acceptable. He wanted so much more than that. And so these were the grievances in the book of Micah and in many of the other Old Testament prophets that God brought up before and against the Israelites. This is the negative feedback, if you like. The contrast between extreme wealth and poverty, God was not happy with that. The injustice perpetrated by the elite rich against those who owned land and who'd been driven off their land into economic dependence, like having to go on to Centrelink payments, if you like, because they'd taken their land off them, the equivalent anyway. God wasn't happy with that, nor was he happy with their dishonest practices, with corrupt judges open to bribes, with the poor having absolutely no way to get any redress or a means of appeal. God wasn't happy with the moral corruption that was happening in the society, impacting the religious leaders. And he wasn't happy with all the religious activity that was going on related to worship with God, but not reflected in behaviour to others. God was not happy with what the Israelites were doing, and he made it very, very clear through the prophets. God wanted his people to do three things: to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with their God. So for us as the people of God today in 2022, how is working for justice to be expressed? How do we live out our mission in working for justice? I think that we can see from this passage of Scripture that God's expectation of working for justice must be an expression of our relationship with him and our worship of him. The idea of a Christ follower not working for justice seems to be totally incompatible. Now, the word justly here has this sense of true or right religion. It's like an ethical or right response to God that is expressed through addressing social concerns and issues. But I find it absolutely fascinating that this working for justice is not a thing you do out here all on its own in isolation. It's actually combined with two other things: loving mercy and walking humbly with our God. It's like they are a package deal. All three are required together. Working for justice is God's expectation of the people with whom he is in relationship. Those who've received his grace and know his forgiveness. Working for justice is part of this package deal, if you like, of being a Christ follower. Along with kindness and mercy to those we come across, and a deep, humble, worshipful relationship with our God. These things are the expected outcomes of a person who lives in covenantal relationship with God, Christ followers. It's important to remind ourselves that these three things, acting justly, loving mercy, walking humbly with our God, they don't save us. That's clearly done through acceptance by faith of the work that Jesus did on the cross for us. But these things are expected to be expressed in the life of one who has experienced that grace and forgiveness from God. Now, if we look at Jesus, we see that when he commenced his ministry, after he'd been tempted in the desert for 40 days, we see this passage that was read to us as well from Luke chapter 4. And let me remind you again of those words. Jesus stood up and read from the scriptures, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Really powerful words. And then it goes on to say in the scripture, when he finished reading, he gave the scroll back to the attendant, sat down, and then said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." That passage of scripture describes Jesus' mission in a nutshell, if you like. This is what he is about. He is clearly standing on the side of the poor, the oppressed, the vulnerable, and the needy, and he's offering change, radical change for those who were accustomed to being marginalized or ostracized, ignored, or maltreated. Freedom to the oppressed and imprisoned. And it's really important to note that this is not just spiritual, it's also physical. Jesus was offering both good news to the poor, hope, sight for the blind. And we know in Jesus' ministry that was both spiritual sight and physical sight. Proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. If you're familiar at all with the Old Testament, you will know the year of Jubilee happened every 50 years. And at that point of time, liberty was proclaimed throughout the land. Slaves were freed, debts were forgiven, property was restored back to its original owners. It was like a reset. And Jesus' proclamation of the year of the Lord's favor says, "I am ushering in a time that will be characterized by God's grace, redemption, and deliverance." That's what Jesus was saying when he said, "Today this has come true in your hearing." He's saying, from now on, I am ushering in a new era of salvation marked by acts of kindness, both spiritual and physical deliverance for those who are oppressed or marginalised. The ones to whom Jesus was called to minister were not those who normally entered synagogues for worship. Jesus' ministry was focused on those who were not on the inside. We see throughout the Gospels that Jesus went outside the boundaries and included people from women with disreputable histories to tax collectors, and they were hated in that day as immoral and corrupt officials. Jesus included people with disabilities and people who were homeless or ostracized. We see it in the Gospels consistently. And Jesus' example is ours. We want to work for justice or see that it is expressed in our lives, then we model our life on the example of Jesus' ministry. We make space for those who are unlike us. We love those who are difficult to love. That's a challenge, but that's what this is about. We welcome those who struggle to be at ease in our company or in anyone's company. Those who might be a little socially awkward. We learn to walk with people who may be uncomfortable to be around. We look for those who are oppressed, marginalized, or ostracized in order that we might be Christ to them. Basically, that's what working for justice is really about if we are a Christ follower. Today in 2022, the poor are still with us. Unfortunately, they still need good news. They need hope. And more often than not, that good news is first demonstrated with acts of kindness and practical support. We still have people physically imprisoned, many because spiritually they are bound. And that leads to acts which put them in prison. Did you know that in Australia, in the Northern Territory, 90% of prison inmates are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander, and yet the population is less than 5% of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people? Something's wrong there, yes? 90%, 5%, that's a justice issue. Now, we may not be able to do much about that, but we can work to be inclusive of those who identify as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander. We can listen, we can learn, we can become an ally, we can act with kindness and respect and seek opportunities to proclaim freedom, spiritual freedom. We still have people who are oppressed, and COVID hasn't helped that, oppressed in a variety of settings. I suspect that today the greatest oppression in Australia is that experienced by people who live with poor mental health and depression. It's way more prevalent than we're probably even aware. Did you know that the most recent census results indicate that 40% of young people aged between 15 and 24 live with a mental health condition? That is appalling. That's really concerning. What does that say about our society? Supporting someone with mental health is challenging and time-consuming. It's made a little easier when it's accomplished in a healthy community of faith. Listening, referring to professionals, providing healthy community activities where people can be included and welcomed and accepted as themselves are ways in which we can begin to proclaim freedom and release for the oppressed. Providing a place where they can experience joy and community and hopefully on their way find salvation and faith in Jesus as well. As we walk alongside others and do life with them, there is opportunity for our walk with God to be observed in our care, in our advocacy, in our listening, in our willingness to offer prayer for them. to point to Jesus when opportunity arises. In community, people begin to seek after the one we reflect, Jesus. Working for justice, it's not really an option. It's a reflection of our relationship with God, and it's often revealed in acts of kindness and mercy and compassion, and in our welcome and acceptance of others who are used to being treated otherwise. We can do this as individual Christ followers, and we should, in our workplaces, in our place where we shop and interact, places where we experience leisure and relaxation. But we can also do this in community with other Christ followers, and it's actually a lot more fun when we do it with others. We can learn about and take up a specific justice cause, but for each of us as Christ followers, the mandate is to follow the example of Jesus, to ensure that we welcome those who have no friends. We include those who are perhaps usually excluded. We love those who are challenging to love. That is powerful. That's acting justly and loving mercy, and that requires that we walk humbly with our God. Otherwise, it's just not possible. You see, it's a package deal, and God knows that we can't do that consistently in our own strength. That's why we have to walk humbly with our God and recognize our dependence upon Him to express acts of mercy and kindness and to act justly. It comes from the power of the Spirit within. That's the package deal. Working for justice, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with our God. Follow the example of Jesus. Stand on the side of the oppressed and the poor, those who are marginalized and excluded and generally ill-treated by others. The Christ follower's life must be different. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with our God. Lord God, this morning we are thankful that you are our God, that you love us, that you know us, and that you desire the best for us. Thank you because you make it so clear in your word what you want of your people. And what you want of us, you give us your Spirit to equip us for. Lord, for each in this room today, I pray that by your Spirit you would touch each of our hearts and our minds, that you would prompt us during this week to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. May that be reflected in our interactions with others, where we live, where we work, where we expend our leisure time. May our lives be a reflection of the life of Jesus within us. Lord, increasingly help us as individuals, help us as a body of your people, and help us as the Salvation Army to stand on the side of the poor and the oppressed and to express Jesus to them. May your love and your compassion flow through us and be a powerful expression of your grace and your love. And may it result in people's lives being transformed with the love of Jesus. May people receive hope. May they find acceptance and life in the communities of faith represented here today in Gangalan and Belconnen. Lord, I pray that you would bless the ministry of these two corps. Bless the people who make up them, and may you use them powerfully in the days to come to be Jesus in their community. May they see you working through them, and may they rejoice and celebrate that the year of the Lord's favor is now. Your deliverance and your salvation is still being proclaimed and experienced. I pray that you would use us in your work. Help us, Lord, each to act justly, to act with acts of kindness and mercy, and to walk humbly with you, knowing that you are our God and your Holy Spirit empowers us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
There's a verse in the Bible that says, we make our plans, but God orders our steps. And I had plans of the benediction this morning, but God has ordered the steps. And what we're going to do is we're going to go back to a song that Haley taught us towards the beginning. And we're going to sing just that first verse and that chorus. But I want to read it to you. It's powerful. And I think it really, it says what Colonel Winston was saying this morning. Let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one in whom you love and gave your son for humanity. That is everyone. You will never look into the eyes of someone that Jesus does not love. And maybe sometimes it starts at home, it starts in our church families, and it goes out from there. Increase my love. Who needs their love increased today? Increase my love. Help me to love with open arms. And maybe, I don't know about you, when I was singing that before, it helped me to open my arms. Help me to love with open arms like you do. A love that erases all the stuff, all the lines, and sees the truth. Oh, that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. That is powerful. What do they see when they look into my eyes, into your eyes? Even in just a smile, they would feel the Father's love.